content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. This month is May, and what is the very special day that happens in May? Do you know? That's right, it's Mother's Day, and it comes up on May the 10th this year. May the 11th this year. I'm sorry, I got my date wrong. So anyways, today our first story is going to be a Mother's Day story. And it's a Berenstain Bears story written by Mike Berenstain. And it's called We Love Our Mom. So here we go. It was springtime in Bear County Country, and everything was fresh and fragrant. The trees were budding in bright springtime green. The lilacs were in full bloom. Early butterflies flitted from tulip to daffodil, and all the mothers of Bear Country were busy taking care of their little ones. Mama Robin was feeding worms to her chirping little fledglings. Mama Rabbit was teaching her baby bunnies how to hop. And Mama Frog was taking a jar full of tadpoles out for a stroll in a wagon. And in the Bear family's treehouse, Mama Bear was taking care of her cubs. Remember, the Berenstain Bears live up in a tree with a pink door and steps leading up to this door, and they live in this treehouse. It was breakfast time, and Mama was cooking pancakes for her family. Mama's pancakes were not only tasted good, but they looked good, too. She made them into little bear faces for brother, sister, and honey. They always liked to eat the ears off first. Thank you, Mama, they sang, pouring lots of honey on their steaming hot pancakes. Oh, those pancakes do look good. Mama Bear took care of her cubs in plenty of other ways, too. She washed their clothes. She sewed their buttons back on their clothes when they popped off. She bandaged their boo-boos when they skinned their knees or stubbed their toes. She gave them baths, read them stories, and tucked them in at night. She gave them hugs when they woke up with bad dreams. All day, every day, Mama Bear was there for her cubs. And there they are, all three cubs in bed with their mama. And little Honey Bear, the baby, was snuggling with Mama. She'd had a bad dream, too. And so had Brother. And Sister is sound asleep. She did not have a bad dream. Well, I'm off to Grizzly Grand's, said Papa, finishing up his breakfast. A rocker on her favorite rocking chair came loose, and I fixed it for her. Can we come? Asked Sister and Brother. Of course, said Papa. Grizzly Gran and Gramps will be very glad to see you. Papa loaded up the rocking chair, and they all set off. Look at all the springtime babies and their mums, said Sister. Spring is a time for new babies, said Papa, and for their mothers, too. And don't forget, Mother's Day is coming up. Brother and Sister had forgotten all about Mother's Day. They needed to figure out what they were doing for their mama on her special day. Howdy, Grand Cubs, said Grizzly Gramps when they arrived. Always great to see you. Gran tried out her new rocking chair. Why, it's as good as new, she said. Thank you, son. You're so good to me. Gee, Ma, said Papa. It was just a loose rocker. Well, little things like that mean a lot to us mums. Gran smiled and gave Papa a kiss. See, she was Papa's mother. Now, cubs, come look at what I'm working on. And she had a big scrapbook out on the table. This is my mama's book, she explained. It holds so many good memories. She pointed to a picture of a pretty young bear holding a baby, like this. Who's that? Asked Brother. That's me, Gran smiled. You look so young, said Sister. I was young, Gran laughed. That's your father when he was born. So she's holding their father in her lap when he was a baby. Our father, they said. You mean Papa? Of course, said Gran. But he's so little, they both said. Yes, agreed Gran, he has grown. Well, Ma, said Papa, we've got to go, but we'll see you next week on Mother's Day. We're all going out to brunch at the old Grizzly Inn. On the way home, brother and sister thought about their day. That scrapbook and Papa doing nice things meant so much to Gran. We need to do something special for Mama on Mother's Day, said Sister. How about making a Mama's book like Gran's, suggested Papa. You could put together a scrapbook all about being a mother. Yes, said Brother. We can use family photos from the old box in the closet. A Mama's book for our own Mama Bear, said Sister, nodding. When they got home, brother and sister sneaked the box of photos out of the closet, took it to their room, and got to work. They spread out pictures on the floor and went through them. They used one of their old school notebooks for paper for a scrapbook. They picked and chose, cut and pasted, lettered and colored, and by supper time they were done. They hid the finished scrapbook away in a drawer. They couldn't wait for Mother's Day to arrive. A week later, brother, sister, Papa, and Honey ran into Mama and Papa's room first thing in the morning. Happy Mother's Day, they called. Here's your present, Mama. For me, asked Mama sleepily. How nice. And she unwrapped her present. Why, it's a Mama's book, just like Gran's, she said. How wonderful. I've always wanted one like it. Thank you, my dears. And she gave all of them a big hug and a kiss. Then she opened the book to the first page. It had pictures of Mama and her three babies, brother, sister, and Honey. You were so cute, brother, so round and plump. We called you Chubby Cubby, sister laughed. But you, sister, said Mama, you cried all the time. We called you Cranky Paws. It was brother's turn to laugh. Then Honey came along, said Mama. She was so sweet, we just called her Honey. There's a picture of Mama and her and baby and her brother, the little boy, when he was only 2 years old. And there was Mama with Sister, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was only 1 week old. Honey pointed to her picture. Baby, she said. Mama and Honey, and there was Honey only 2 days old. And there was a picture. The rest of the scrapbook was full of all kinds of pictures of family. There was brother learning to ride a bike, sister on her first day of school, and there was Honey waving from her stroller. And there was Honey getting all her birthday presents, and Mama with brother watching her fix a pretty cake for someone. And there they are on a picnic, and brother is with Mama, and she has a basket full of goodies for their picnic, and brother is eating a big old donut. There they're all swimming at the beach. And anyways, there were birthdays, picnics, vacations, school plays, soccer games, and Thanksgiving dinner with all sorts of people there. They were all things that Mama would want to remember about her cubs growing up. And there she is, Mama, refereeing a soccer game at the children's school, and Sister and brother are playing against each other. And there, Sister and brother are painting a big picture for the screen of a play. There was a tear in Mama's eye when she came to the end. Thank you, my dear, she said again, hugging them all. This is the most wonderful Mother's Day gift I have ever gotten. Happy Mother's Day, Mama, brother and sister said. Happy, said Honey. And now, said Papa, it's time for us all to get ready to take Mama and Gran out to Mother's Day brunch. And that is exactly what they did. So there the family is going into what's called the Old Grizzly Inn for a good Mother's Day brunch. And that's the end of that story about Mother's Day. So what are you going to do for your mom? Are you going to make her a beautiful card or buy her a little present or make her a scrapbook? That would just be great, whatever you decide to do. Our next book is Paddington Bear at the Circus. So here we go. One morning, Paddington was doing his shopping in the market when he saw a very tall man with a pointed hat and baggy trousers. The man was putting up a poster, and he was so tall he didn't even need a ladder to reach the top of the billboard. The poster showed a huge tent decorated with colored lights, and across the middle of this poster were the words, "See the world's greatest circus, one night only." Paddington rubbed his eyes several times in order to make sure he wasn't dreaming. Paddington hurried back home to tell the others what he had seen. "The world's greatest circus?" repeated Jonathan, giving his sister a wink. "Are you sure?" "It's for one night only," exclaimed Paddington. "Don't worry," said Judy. "You won't miss it." "Dad's got tickets for the front row," said Jonathan. "Mrs. Bird's coming, too." Paddington had never been to a circus before, and he was very excited at the thought. "I hope it gets dark early," he said. "Then we can see the lights." Paddington's wish came true. Seen from the outside, with all the colored lights twinkling against the night sky, the circus really did have a magical air. "Hurry, hurry, have your tickets ready," called a voice. "The show's about to begin." "It's the man I saw this morning," whispered Paddington. "The very tall one I was telling you about." "That's one of the clowns," said Judy. "He really isn't that tall," began Jonathan. But Paddington couldn't wait. He could hear a band playing, and he was already hurrying on ahead. But if outside of the tent had seemed exciting, it was nothing compared to the inside. There was a lovely smell of sawdust, and amongst the jugglers and acrobats, there was even a girl selling ice cream. Mr. Brown pointed to a man in the middle of the ring. He was wearing a top hat. "That's the ringmaster," he explained. "He's in charge of everything." "Well, I expect you could keep a lot of marmalade sandwiches under a hat like that," said Paddington enviously. "I think I would like to be a ringmaster one day." Just then, the tall clown entered the ring. He was clutching a long pole that had a bucket balanced on it. When he saw Paddington waving, he came across to greet him. "Watch out," cried Jonathan, as the clown leaned over to shake Paddington's paw. Paddington jumped up in alarm, but he wasn't quick enough. Before he had time to escape, the bucket had fallen off the end of the pole. Uh-oh. Luckily, it was tied on with string, and it was empty, so Paddington didn't get wet. "Clowns are full of tricks," said Judy. "I'm glad I was wearing my duffel coat all the same," said Paddington. "Someone might have put water in the bucket by mistake." "I'm told ice cream is very good for young bears if they've had a shock," said Mr. Brown. He ordered 6 large cones, and then they all sat back to enjoy. "I feel better already, Mr. Brown," said Paddington gratefully. Paddington had hardly started on his ice cream when he had yet another shock. Glancing up towards the roof of the tent, he saw a man hanging from a rope. Jonathan looked at his program. "That must be one of the popular prices," he said. "They are trapeze artists." "Don't worry," called Paddington. "I'm coming. Bears are very good at climbing." He thought the trapeze artist needed to be rescued from up there, but he really didn't, did he? Before the others could stop him, Paddington was halfway up the nearest tent pole. Climbing the pole and carrying an ice cream at the same time wasn't easy, and the audience gave a round of applause when he reached the safety of a small platform near the top. Paddington was about to take a bow when, in his surprise, he saw a man coming towards him on a bicycle. "I don't think you're supposed to bring your bicycle up here, Mr. Price," he exclaimed. "Look out," shouted the man, frantically ringing his bell. "I can't stop." "Hold on," called his partner. In the confusion, Paddington didn't know what to do first, so he grabbed hold of a nearby bar. It came away in his paw, and before he knew what was happening, he felt himself flying through the air. The audience thought Paddington was part of the act, and they clapped louder than ever. Then a gasp went up as he missed the platform on the other side of the tent and began swinging backwards and forwards in mid-air. "Oh, dear," said Mrs. Brown, "whatever will he do now?" "I shouldn't worry," said Mrs. Bird. "Bears usually land on their feet." But when Mrs. Bird went quiet as she, even Mrs. Bird went quiet as Paddington's swing got slower and slower, until he finally ended up hanging over the middle of the ring. Uh-oh, how is he going to get out of that? "Don't let go," shouted the ringmaster. "Whatever you do, don't let go." "I'm not going to," said Paddington. He tried to raise his hat, but he was still holding the ice cream cone in his other paw. A look of horror came over the ringmaster's face as something soft and white landed with a squelch in his beautifully clean top hat. "Help," Paddington cried. "I've changed my mind. I can't hold on much longer." Everybody in the audience began making suggestions, but in the end, it was the clown who came to the rescue. Balancing his bucket on the end of the pole, he stretched up as high as he could so that Paddington could climb into it. "I hope the string doesn't break," said Mrs. Bird. "That bear had a very large lunch." "If the clown stretches any more," said Judy, "his trousers will fall down." Uh-oh. Sure enough, the trousers did fall down, and the cheers changed to laughter as Paddington was lowered to safety. "Funniest act I've seen in years," shouted a man near the Browns. "More, more!" Paddington gave the man a hard stare. "I don't think I want to do any more," he announced. "In fact, I don't think I want to go on a trapeze ever again. I shall just sit and watch from now on." And then he caught sight of the clown's stilts. "It's no wonder you look so tall," he exclaimed. "There's the stilts with the man's pants and shoes on the bottom of it, and then the clown is up on a little platform on top of the stilts, and so he isn't really very tall. He's really a very short man." Paddington didn't think anything more could happen to him, but at the end of the evening, the ringmaster presented him with another ice cream, and insisted he take part in the grand parade at the end of the show. "After all," he said, "you were the star of the show tonight. It's a pity we are moving on," he added, turning to the Browns. "It isn't every evening we have a daring young bear on the flying trapeze." "If you ask me," said Mrs. Bird wisely, "it's a good thing you don't. Otherwise, there's no knowing where you would end up," because Paddington always seems to get himself in trouble. Later that evening, when the Browns said goodbye to Paddington, they found him standing on the box seat by his bedroom window. He had a faraway look in his eyes. "I was taking a last look at the circus before it goes on its way," he explained. "Do you still want to be a ringmaster one day?" asked Judy. Paddington climbed into bed and tested his sheets carefully to make sure he was tucked safely in before answering, and then he lay back. I think perhaps I would sooner be a clown," he said dreamily. "It must be nice to be so tall. You can always see what's going on in the world without having to stand on anything." And the next thing they knew, Paddington was sound asleep in his bed. And that's the end of the Paddington Bear story when he went to the circus. So here we go. This story is called Pete the Cat's World Tour. Now, Pete the Cat has a band, and they're going around the world to play in different countries. So Pete and his bandmates are going on a world tour. They are ready to rock. In Mexico, Pete and Gus practice for the show. Uh-oh, Pete's belly starts to rumble. Pete cannot play if he's hungry. He needs something to eat. How about tacos, suggests Gus. He eats one filled with nopales. That's a kind of cactus. Pete has a taco filled with fish, salsa, and lettuce. Now he's ready to play. The band's next concert is in the mountain is on a mountain in Peru. Uh-oh, the air is a bit too chilly for Pete. He can't play if he's cold, so he needs to warm up. Gus is his duck friend who plays the drums. How about a cup of Peruvian hot chocolate, asked a fan. I would love some, says Pete. His fan is a llama. All the audience in here in Peru are llamas. How about a cup of Peruvian hot chocolate, asks a fan. I would love some, says Pete. The hot chocolate tastes groovy, and Pete feels warm and full. Now he's ready to play. The band's next stop is in Iceland. It's a long flight. Uh-oh, Pete is sleepy. He can't play if he's tired. He needs to relax. Everyone takes a dip in the blue lagoon. It's cold outside, but hot in the lagoon. The water is very, very soothing. Ah, just what I need, Pete says. And now he's ready to play. In France, Pete gets ready to play, but first he wants a snack. Of course, doesn't that sound familiar? Uh-oh, Pete can't decide if he should have a baguette, which is a nice little loaf of bread, or an éclair, which is a lovely pastry with chocolate icing on top, and inside is a nice cream filling. It's all a very nice sweet snack. If Pete doesn't make a choice, he will be late to the concert. Try both, says the baker. Merci, says Pete. Merci means thank you in French. He eats his French treats in front of the Eiffel Tower. And you remember that the Eiffel Tower is a very famous thing to look at in Paris. And now, after those snacks, he's ready to play. The band practice in front of the Great Hall of China. The long trip made Pete hungry once again. Uh-oh, Pete can't play if he's thinking about food. He needs something to eat. A local singer shows them to a restaurant. Pete and the band eat dumplings with chopsticks. Now he's ready to play. In India, Pete tries to sing. His throat is very scratchy. Uh-oh, Pete can't play if he's thirsty. He needs a drink. Pete takes a sip of a cold mango lassi. Yum! And now he's ready to play. And there's a stall selling mango lassi, which is mango juice mixed with yogurt. And it is really good. It's a good drink to get in India. The band's next stop is Egypt. Uh-oh! The sand is too hot. It is burning Pete's feet. He can't play if his feet hurt. He needs something to sit on. A very kind camel offers to let Pete sit on him. Pete's feet do not hurt anymore. And now he's ready to play. So there's the squirrel that's going to sing with them, and the octopus which plays the keyboards, and an alligator that plays the guitar, and of course his friend the duck plays the drums. And there's Pete sitting on the camel in front of a pyramid, ready to play with the band. At Victoria Falls in Africa, Pete admires the waterfall. It's a huge, Victoria Falls is a huge waterfall in Africa. It falls between Zambia and Zimbabwe. Cool, Pete says. We are in two countries at the same time. Then Pete notices that the water is hitting his guitar. Uh-oh. Pete can't play if his guitar is wet. Squirrel has a plan. She finds an umbrella. Now that's better. Now Pete is ready to play. The band's last stop is in Trinidad, which is in the Caribbean. Pete has no problems. He is ready to play. The crowd goes wild. That was an amazing show, says Pete. I can't wait to come back. The band's world tour is over. It is time to go home. Pete loved his trip. The world is full of groovy places, he says. I can't wait to see them all. And that's the end of that story. Now, we have time for a few poems, and today we're going to read from the Please and Thank You book. Don't be grabby, gorilla. Gorillas are rude. They grab their food. They never say, please pass the peach. They're so anxious, they just reach. They upset others by all they do. And sometimes they upset the table, too. Can you believe that? There's someone falling off her stool because the gorilla's grabbing things. The ox always knocks. The ox always knocks before opening a door because someone behind it might be sleeping or wrapping a present or sad and weeping. Then he always asks, may I come in? And everyone says, how thoughtful of him. Rabbits at the table. The twin rabbits always taste the food that's on the table. They don't always eat it all, but they eat as much as they're able. Funny or runny or something new, they try at least a bite or two. That's a polite thing to do, isn't it? Pull yourself together, Pamela Pig. Pamela Pig is simply a mess. Her hair is uncombed. There's ink on her dress. Her hands are filthy, and I have a hunch that chocolate pudding was part of her lunch. Doesn't she know it isn't polite to make others look at such a sad sight? There she is with chocolate pudding all over her face and mud and ink on her dress. She really is messy, Pig. Not so wildcats. Wildcats make their mother roar the way they slam the kitchen door. If they would close it quietly, they'd see how pleased their mother would be. And there's when they come slamming in, the surprises the mother so much she drops three plates and they all break and the flowers on the table fall over and water gets everywhere. Her poor mother. Anyways, leopards look before they leap. Leopards look before they leap. They cross only with the light. And when they cross a crowded street, they try to keep to the right, which is the right thing to do, isn't it? You go on the right when you cross that street. Elephants remember. Thoughtful elephants always remember to wipe their muddy feet. They come inside when their feet are dried. They're really very neat. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.